Welcome to the Student Athlete Preparation Podcast, brought to you by Simply Faster, the industry's leading sports technology and coach education platform. Check out their products and their blog at simplyfaster.com. That's SimplyFaster.com. Today, I'm chopping it up with owner of XPE Sports and NFL Combine and Movement Specialist, Tony Villani.
Welcome to the Student Athlete Preparation Podcast, hosted by high school strength and conditioning coach, Cody Hughes. This ain't your normal podcast, y'all. He's bringing real discussions about real strategies to improve the student athlete development and preparation process. New episodes every Friday with guests who are all about keeping it real. Here to warn you now, you might get your feelings hurt. The mics are on and the takes are hot. Enjoy this episode. Here's your host, Cody Hughes.
Coach Tony, how we doing, man? Welcome to the show.
How you doing, Cody? Thank you. I feel like I'm in the WWE. You got lead-in music and everything.
Awesome. I got you, man. Yes. I like to make it entertaining, man. If it's not entertaining, I don't think people want to listen, even if the content's hot. So
I hear you. It's good stuff.
Well, I appreciate you coming on the show, man. You've been a pretty recommended guest from a lot of close friends of mine, where we've been going down the rabbit hole of how to win games, man, and how to prepare athletes to move better and solve problems, and where we're at as far as, you know, figuring out how to give athletes the tools to solve problems and produce, because that's at the end of the day, that's what we're here to do. So before we begin, Coach, I want you to give us a little background on who you are, where you came from, and how you got to where you're at today.
I'm just a guy who didn't want a real job. I was good at, like, a lot of sports, but not great at any of them. I'm not like a genetic freak. People always thought I was faster than I was. I think it's because I didn't get tired. Probably should have stuck with soccer and played basketball instead. I got a little master's degree, and then was lucky enough to work with the Orlando Magic for like a year or two and learn stuff. Thought I wanted to play training basketball. Then I kind of got my start working for Hall of Famer receiver Chris Carter when he had a thing called Chris Carter's Fast Program. Worked for 3 years there and learned a lot. And then opened up my own business, XP, like 20 years ago. And it was all about speed and footwork back in the day. And then I've seen that work. And we started getting great combine results, I think. And they started to be on TV so people could research who was training who was doing good.
Yeah.
That exploded our combine business. And now we are known for the NFL combine business.
Yeah.
And marketing for it and getting good results. But I have found from the great players I've trained really over the last decade is that combine numbers are not where it's at.
Yeah.
Totally flipped how we train. Now, do we train combine numbers? Yes. Like, we need to get those combine numbers to pop off a sheet for a guy. And then we never train that type of stuff ever again in their career.
Right. And right.
Started implementing the same system with high school kids too, that we can get into.
Gotcha. That makes sense. Well, man, well, talk to us a little bit about, you know, the big hot topic with on social media. You've become pretty popular on Twitter lately, and that's kind of how I found you, is just the topic of game speed. And, you know, everybody has their own philosophies of what that means and how they go about training it. And it sounds to me like you found your solution just through trial and error, conversations you had, results you saw. I want to hear your process of, one, how you started to kind of find answers, right? And then, two, how you're starting to develop and see these patterns over these 20 years of coaching. And like you said, you've got this curriculum you're coming out with that kind of principles and segments all this stuff to help us give these athletes these movements. So we're going to start from the beginning, chop it up of where all these ideas and things came from.
So what speed is stride length times stride frequency. But I was the one, I mean, I'm not the only one who said it, but a long time ago, I was like, it's just not length times frequency, because that's what your max speed is.
Right.
And speed is power and acceleration into length and frequency.
Okay.
So we started teaching track mechanics. I never ran track, but track mechanics to football players and deloading their legs and not cooking them in the weight room and training power with their legs to accelerate and track mechanics to open up. And we started seeing 40-yard dash improvements of 2 to 3 tenths off the most elite guys in 8 weeks. and nobody believed we were getting Kareem Jackson and E-Man Mosley. Kareem, say hi real quick.
Kareem Jackson. What's up? How are you doing, Kareem?
Good, how are you?
You in here getting some work in?
Can you believe I'm doing a pod? I'm on a podcast already. Right,
yeah. Hey, did Kareem play at Alabama?
Yeah, starting DB.
That's what I thought. Yeah, my wife's a graduate from Alabama, big Bama fan, so that's cool, man.
Like, even with Kareem's class, so back in 2010, I had to move my business from Atlanta to Florida. We literally had a piece of carpet turf down the middle of a gym.
Yeah.
Three treadmills that worked and didn't work, and a Vertimax. And I was just like, I'm relocating a business from Atlanta and still got to get combine results. And we started just sequencing legs together, unplugged wood weights for driving, uphill for floating, and making sure we counterbalanced it with enough sled work on their weakness. So, you know, it just worked on power and the acceleration and opening up these guys' strides and doing it smartly and not overcooking their legs. And, you know, they were getting fast. We were turning every 4.7 to a 4.4. And nobody believed it back then.
Right. But
we're seeing now, Cody, and all these coaches are seeing, if you sequence your legs together correctly with your speed training, you can teach basic sprint mechanics and coincide it with good strength and power training, and you can improve people's 40s 2 to 3 tenths in 8 to 10 weeks.
Yeah.
I don't think it's magic anymore. I think that whole industry has caught up.
Right.
But what I found from that is the best guys we had that performed at Indy weren't the best players I was training every offseason.
How about that?
And everybody always says that, well, speed don't matter, speed don't matter. So, well, why are people drafting speed then?
Right.
And, you know, that's the first scouts tell me, well, speed don't matter, speed don't matter. And then they call me, hey, Tony, you're training so-and-so. What's he going to run? I said, I thought you told me speed don't matter. I don't care if he's going
to run. How about that?
And then they say, well, what's he going to run? I'm like, well, you know, he's going to run between 4.42 and 4.52. Well, that's a big difference, Tony. I'm like, no, it's not. It's the same time, same guy. I don't know how he's going to hit his first two steps.
Yeah.
And how you're with human error, and what's he going to feel like that day? So I'm hoping he goes 4.45. If he hits it out of the park, he'll go 4.42. If he misses it a tad, he'll be 4.50. And I'm like, there's no difference in that time or athlete, but you guys tell me there's a difference.
So they put all this stock in this number that has all these variables. Could be really good on one rep, good on not. Human error, how you time it, the day of the week, flip a coin, and they're allocating money based off these just these small times.
Now it's just about TV. So once when the 40 event for NFL Network, and started seeing like, okay, like I'm training some good guys now, and you know they still have average 40, but they're great at other things. They're getting drafted. I think the NFL is looking past speed a lot more now, but it's still the sexy event.
Right.
And that's what I feel like training has gone back to is the sexy event of not 40 anymore, but max speed.
Yeah.
That philosophy happens after the 40, and that's the reason they don't test it for football, because they don't care what happens after the 40. So that's where I guess I'm getting attention, because I'm not saying max velocity is not needed, but I'm like, if we're saying 40 is not needed as a predictor to success, then max velocity is definitely not needed as the predictor to success.
Yeah.
While we do improve it, I want to make sure people are harnessing it and working on what really, really helps athletes. So, you know, Coach Joe is on the so Witowski has told me something, and I agree with him. Like, don't tell these high school kids not to train speed. I'm like, I'm not saying that. But speed and max velocity is like the base. It's like track mechanics. That's the base of speed and agility training. Just like we found out is the base of power. It's not at all.
Right.
And once when that base is developed, move on.
Mm-hmm.
We've tried to develop the past probably 8 years with these guys, and I picked their brains of what now? What can we work on? And we have found out just one step of separation. Instead of agility, like, how do we create or close one step? And that's all you need.
Yeah.
And people don't understand is it's not – it takes, you know, somebody on Twitter posting it out there, God, I feel bad because I want to quote in Westchester or something, track, and they're like, speed matters. I'll see you guys. I gotta get back. I'll see you. But I think Westchester Athletic posted speed matters. Look, a 4.4 is 1.6 yards ahead of a 4.6 after running 4 seconds in a straight line.
Yeah.
And I read it. I was like, that tells me speed does not matter, because it takes me 8 weeks to train a guy purely on speed and shut down his agility training and not work on injury prevention and peak him, and I can get him from 475 to 4.5 bat in 8 weeks. It's not hard. It's easy.
Right.
But once that, I basically improved his ability to run in a straight line for 4 seconds by 1.6 yards.
Wow. I mean, how about that? That's just not a good allocation of energy and time.
Awful.
Yeah.
It's awful. I'm like, I can create 1.6 yards of separation on a million different drills. So that's what we started working on. So, like, we improve our guys' 40s if they train with us for the combine, and then we never work it again.
Yeah.
Come back to us in March, we work on acceleration and top speed mechanics. And when they go top speed mechanics but not opening up and just pushing into our speed, and they come back from their camps, they're like, Tony, I hit 22 miles an hour on the practice. I'm like, that's funny because all we've worked on is the first 3 to 5 steps. Like,
yeah. So when we talk about that now what? Right, because that's kind of your big deal. It's like, all right, cool. You train Max V, because like you've got this whole high school, you know, there's this huge narrative out right now that if you just train miles an hour, which one to me, the miles an hour number is nothing but to create an intent, is what a lot of coaches see, is that they get intent and effort out of their kids, which is a huge driver for a lot of high school coaches. But now what, right? Like you said, you get it down. I mean, that's insane. Like, you spend 8 weeks to get 1.6 yards of separation at 40 yards of speed. When in the world does that happen in a game?
That's a great result.
Yeah. That's a great result.
NFL or college coaches want to see, so you got to do it. But then it's like, now what? And once when you improve that kid, once when he's an elite athlete and you take him from 4.75 to 4.50, he comes back to you the next year, and if you time him, he's still in the 4.5s. He's never lost it because he's got the genetic capability now. He's got the power. He's got all that. It's built in, and he knows how to do it. Yeah. You got to teach him once. But that guy, Kareem Jackson, went from like, I can't tell you what he pre-timed with. He'll kill me. But he laser an Indy 4.40 hand, and he ended up being third to first round, second overall pick.
Yeah.
Second pick. And he did it for, I don't know who that for. I'm sorry. Who's that for? I don't know. Ask up front. I'm sorry. Sorry about that.
All good.
I'm a pizza eater. I didn't order it, though. So Kareem went, like, got his 2.5 tenths off.
Yeah.
He can run 4.4, 4.5 anytime we time him. So what am I going to do? Time him, retrain him, and get him down from 4.50 to 4.30? That's impossible. I can't keep improving you 2 tenths every offseason.
Yeah.
You get improvement and move on. And that's even with a high school kid. I think as a high school kid who's not done growing, you get that improvement in January and February. But he's going to come back to you in summer. You're not going to get the same 2 tenths improvement.
Yeah.
So you've got to improve their ability to play. And then when they come back to you the sophomore year, their junior year, improve their max velocity and 40-yard speed, January, February. But now what? Improve their ability to play. Where I want to get people to, and the best players I've ever trained, I'm going to name drop some because they taught me so much. And yeah. It's like Travis Kelce, Anquan Boldin, and Mark Ingram were in here the other day, and we were doing these flying 10 tests that everybody do. Cool. It's so perfect because all this is on video. So we put a linebacker bag at the 0 to 1 yard mark, mm-hmm. and then at a flying 10. And so Eman Mosley, who left the number one graded DB workout his year, everything off the chart, 4.3 vertical explosion, shuttle, everything. He steps over that bag into the laser, and he still gets like a 1.6, 1.10. I put him up in fast order. We had Eman Mosley. We had Justin Simmons, the top safety. Then I did running back Mark Ingram. Oh, no, I did receiver Cortland Sutton. Then we did running back Mark Ingram, tight end Travis Kelce, Dean Carlos. So I said, the time should get slower as we go down. Eman goes 1.60. Then everybody else goes like 1.7s and 1.8s when they step over the bag into a 10-yard 10. And I said, guys, that's just what it is. If you don't push into your speed, that's what you look like when you change directions. Awful.
Wow.
Pop up or your feet come together. And I'm like, man, you didn't come out of that change of direction. That's what you look like. And you guys are all 1.7 and 1.8. Okay?
Yeah.
But then Kelce went. And he stepped up over and he gets 1.62. I'm like, that ain't right. Like, you're not supposed to be as fast as a DB. And Anquan goes, no, that's right. I said, why? He goes, Travis is. He goes, just watch. Have him do it again. So we have it all on video. Travis does it again. 1.61 again. I'm beating physics, Tony. You are, but you're just proving, like, you know how to run out of any position. That's what makes you you.
Yeah.
Okay, so now we just move that bag away, that linebacker bag away. Still set them up the same distance, but let them push through the first step instead of popping up. Eman goes 1.60 down to 1.50. He improves 0.11 just off his first step.
Yeah.
grab it, and then everybody else goes from 1.7s to 1.8s down to 1.5s. Improves 2 to 3 tenths of a second just off their one step. So I said, dude, now you guys understand how I want you to start your run or change directions. Because when you change directions, you restart a run. And when you click together or pop up or dance in place, when you decide to change direction, that's as equal as like stepping over that bag. It's 2 to 3 tenths off.
Yeah.
And that 3 tenths off is not going to make up anything. So we did that with 1 yard like that. And then we said, and then this is where the magic happened. So then we put like 5 yards in. This is our game speed. Most change of directions happen between yard 5 to 15 to 20 on the field.
Okay.
And you normally only get one chance to change directions. All my best players are like, if I change directions twice, I'm messed up.
Yeah. You hear that from like a running back, you know, like one cut and get north or not, you finna get your head knocked off, right?
Yes. That's all we've heard on with Mark Ingram. Now I can give stats on Mark Ingram. The best juke rate in the NFL. Lowest yards lost behind scrimmage. Best in history per rush. Most yards over expected rush. Like, he only averages 12 carries a game, 3 carries a quarter. He's in year 11. And, like, he still hits it, but he's not because of his top speed. But anyway, but so we can work game speed. Our game speed is 5 yards in, 10-yard fly. Okay, so now we go, all right, now I'm about to show you guys something else. Now we have Denzel Ward here who just started with this. Now he's a big buyer. So I said, Denzel, like, now I want you guys to do this. Start with your feet together with a 5-yard run in. Don't fall into it and run as fast as you can through 15 yards. And then you put that number on the board. Okay, then you stay, okay, now get in a split stance. And I don't want you to run 15. I just want you to explode 3 to 4 steps and coast. They go 3 to 4 steps and coast. Hey, you're faster than starting with your feet together and running as fast as you can. And they can't believe it. I'm like, I'm not timing you. This laser's beeping twice, and it's timing you. And if you set up those first 3 steps correctly and then coast, it's as fast or faster than you start with your feet together and running all out. And they're like, okay. And I said, I'm about to freak you guys out again. Now I want you to hit those first 3 steps as hard as you can and hit the gas as hard as you can. And you know what? You may be faster, but not much. No way. I'm dead. And if guys get faster, they're lucky to get 3 or 4 hundredths faster.
Yeah.
3 or 4 hundredths of a second is 1/3 of that clap.
Yeah.
So now you're telling me, if I start with my feet together and run out, change directions like stick crap, or have no acceleration, I'm slower than if I just work on 3 steps and coast? Yes.
Wow.
I mean, if I go 3 steps and go as hard as I can, even if I'm faster, I'm this much faster? Yes. So now we say, okay, now we're about to teach you really about game speed. We did all this. So, like, in that phase, everybody was the same. We want our fast DBs to be, E-Man can get like 117, 116 at that phase, which is crazy because that means he's heading in at like 16 miles an hour and exiting like at 21 miles. He's averaging 17.6 miles an hour through 5 to 15 yards.
Yeah.
So if you're at 14 to 15, you're leaving it after 20.
Yeah.
Okay, so we want like our DBs to be, like, just hit that number and see what your number is. And we wrote it up on a board, and I got the board back there, and it's all in the curriculum because I shot it all.
Yep.
And now we say, okay, now we want our DBs and skill positions to be 1.20 to 1.24, but be able to stop. And we want our medium positions to be 1.24 to 1.28 and be able to stop.
So when you say be able to stop, how do you measure that? Or what, do you just watch it?
Yeah, we try to say stop. So this is where it got interesting. The faster guys were stopping at about 8 yards past the 15-yard mark, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then Mark Ingram and Travis Kelce, would, in a younger Anquan Boldin would have done it, they would stop like at 4 yards.
So okay? You're asking them to hit the brakes?
Hit the brakes. I say hit a good time, but hit the brakes. So if you hit a bad time,
yeah,
you stopped good, but you weren't at a good game speed.
So it's not as hard to slow down.
Yes. Right. So, but now what you've taught them is if I explode 3 steps and coast, I'm honestly almost as fast as me hitting the gas, but now I can stop.
Yeah.
So tell them to hit the gas and they stop 8 to 12 yards away. We tell them to hit the first part and coast and try to stop, and the laser time is almost the same, but they can stop between 4 to 8 yards.
Ooh, that's a big deal in football, though.
Now, you're good players, so, like, it was funny because all my guys were stopping 6 to 8 yards down there. Mark Ingram and Travis Kelce went up there. They hit their game speeds of 1.28 to 1.30. Travis actually hit a 1.36, which isn't good, but stopped like on a dime 2 yards out.
Yeah.
Past the laser. And I said, Travis, that was great stop, but you didn't hit a good game speed. You were 1.36. So it's like, all right, cool. You know, so let's go again. Fast guys are getting 1-2-0 to 1-2-4 and putting on the brakes. They're getting 6 to 8 yards. Mark Ingram goes again. He gets 1-2-8. Now he can get hit at 1-2-2 flying through there, but he's 1-2-8 when he was got, and he's stopping like at 4 yards. But when Mark stops, he like hits a move and is breaking. Like it's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
So Travis goes again, and Antoine Bowen goes, watch. I guess they planned it. Travis comes through there 5 yards, about at the 7 to 8 yard part of the 10 yard fly. He hits this big hezzy step, really looks at me and smiles, and then breaks again at 2 yards. And it was faster than he ran before. And it was like 1-3-4.
Wow. Like,
crazy. And Antoine's like, it's not crazy. Travis can't be fast. He can't be fast. But he can do that and run the same speed as him looking like he's running. And that's what it is the appearance of speed. So I went back up to that board, guys. I said, I put 6 people up here on the board, but we've timed about 20 people today. I'm circling the 2 slowest guys in their game speed zone. Shoop, shoop. And the one guy I'm pointing to, Antoine, would have been the slowest if he was in yard 10. If he was healthy, like he's just older. I said, these 3 guys would be our slowest guys. I said, who are they? Anquan Boldin, Travis Kelce, and Mark Ingram. Who has the most Pro Bowls in this room, guys? Anquan Boldin, Kelce, and Mark Ingram.
Yeah.
How many Pro Bowls are in this room beside them? Not many. So you idiots, slow the F down. Breaks. Because you can get to an adequate speed on that field, but if you can't harness that speed and change directions, Travis Kelce and Mark Ingram are running 500 slower than you guys, but they're able to stop 5 yards sooner than you. Is pushing 500s of speed worth five yards? No.
Right.
Overrunning the play. That's a receiver not being able to run a route. That's a running back not being able to set up the next level. So we have a whole game speed curriculum where we're like, let's see what your flying speed is.
Yeah.
But let's not write that on the board, like, not to be rude, these colleges are, and saying, oh, yeah, we're getting to this mile per hour. What mile per hour can you feel like you can get to and still stop?
Yeah. It's a big deal. Because then, like you talk about all this time, you get all these results from that first step, right? Those first couple of steps. And then if you can stop, because I heard Lauren Landau say this all the time. I heard him speak and say, how fast can you get back to acceleration?
Yes.
So if you can stop and your first step's really good, and then you learn how to change direction and you have the robustness to be able to handle those forces of deceleration and play many snaps. Uh-oh, we got a productive player.
The best receivers in the world. I'm lucky enough to be really associated with 5 of them. They have the 15 most catches in NFL history. Hines Ward is 15. Not a speed guy. Okay? Chris Carter is way up there. Not a speed guy. Larry Fitzgerald, never trained, but my business partner did. We trained the same way. Not a speed guy. Antoine Bolden's up there. Not a speed guy. The other one I trained, Randy Moss, is a speed guy.
Yeah.
Randy Moss is like 15. He didn't have the longest career ever. The 2 tight ends on that list are Gonzalez and Jason Witten. Not speed guys. Terrell Owens is on that list. Not a speed guy. Like, there's no speed guys. Because once when their speed starts to drop, when you're genetically 26 to 29, you got to get open.
Yeah.
And that's what, like, we have the whole curriculum, like, it's in 3 levels and stuff. But, like, we do teach max velocity. And we do teach people how to get fast. But now what?
Yeah.
So there's so many more drills to learn to control your speed and how to set up brakes than there ever is on speed. Once you learn speed, it's simple. Like, I'm not knocking speed. I'm just saying it's simple. It's done. I want people to use their own speed curriculum. I'll tell you many good speed trainers.
Right.
You speed curriculum, but you now what? Like, you can't go speed and then go drop them off on your position coach. Because you think position coach knows how to really coach your position? A lot of times they don't. It's the position coach just coaching space and awareness and where to be. Sometimes the position coach knows how to coach positions, but you know what? If you're a strength and conditioning coach and you get an athlete bigger in that weight room and more powerful and faster, you just hand delivered a worse athlete to a position coach. He can't change directions as good. So we say, like, for every ounce of speed or power you do, you need 2 ounces of agility. Because if you do 1 ounce of speed and go 1 ounce of agility, you didn't make him better at agility. You just maybe counterbalanced the speed. And it's harder to slow down than speed up. So you need 2 ounces of agility for every 1 ounce of speed to actually get an improvement in agility.
Yeah.
So that's what we mean with our game speed. And we trained, I don't want to name the kid, but we trained the kid at this top college. And I had him timed on his game speed at 1-3-0, 5 yards into 10. And his coach does the same test. And I'm like, look, Nanek, I want you to hit it hard and hit it easy. And he's like 129 to 132. It doesn't matter what he hits. Like if he goes all out through there, he's like sometimes 129, sometimes 132.
Right.
If he does first three steps and coasts at a good game speed, I call it, he's at 129 to 132. So then I saw his college post, his college coast post, you know, a 5 yard drop in 10 yard fly. And he was like eighth fastest and it was 130. So I text him. I said, hey, that's about what we had you at. I said, did you feel like you were running? He's like, nah, I was just going smooth. I'm like, cool. He's like, because if I go harder, I'm not going to be faster. I'm like, you're right. There's some 122s and 124s in there and a few 128s. You're like the eighth fastest. You're a linebacker. That's pretty good. You know what his coach did the next week on the team? A curved run. You know who was number one? That guy that spent 3 weeks with us. Why? Because he had game speed.
Yeah.
On a curved run with him, but he knew how to run at a controlled speed. So the other guys that were faster than him running in the straight line, once when they started to curve, weren't as fast as him. So I believe in all that curved running, like that, the best part of game speed.
Yeah, cool, man. I think that's going to be a huge tool, and I want to hear more of, like, because now let's back it down to like the rudimentary level of like us high school coaches, because a lot of these kids need to learn these skills, right? And I know everybody. If you don't know the difference between, you got to learn the skill of change of direction, deceleration before you can be good in agility, which comes from an outside stimulus, right? But how do we, like, how do you teach the skill from like a change of direction skill wise? And I know this is probably all part of the curriculum, right? Mm-hmm. And into when you go from change of direction work into more agility work, do you do them both kind of simultaneously in different parts of the plan? Because like, or do, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I want to hear, like, how you.
Like, speed gain is our focus, and they're not close to a season. So, if they're training for a combine or if it's a football team in February, speed and power are our focus.
Okay.
So we sequence their legs together with their speed training on Monday and Thursday, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So we don't overcook them.
Yeah.
Because those are big days, Monday, Thursday. Tuesday, Friday, we go through drills to harness speed, but don't get their legs tired.
Like what? Okay.
Like working crossovers, working setup foot positions, working back pedals, like basic stuff, but like basic stuff the pros don't even know how to do. Like, so for example, we'll teach guys how to attack routes like a wide receiver. You're lacrosse, soccer, whatever. You're going to learn from the best receivers how to run forward and attack angles.
Mm-hmm.
So work on that, but easy, because the attack 45, your feet come apart and you go to 45. The attack 90, to attack it, you roll to 90 and run it out. Or you get sit on and break to 90, or you go wide base crossover to 90. So that's like, you got to teach them that. And then to go to 135, well, that's when if you're a receiver, you decelerate, break, plant, stick tight because you got to threaten. But if you're a defensive player, you just sit in a wide base crossover and come back like you're doing a combine shuttle. And then the worst way to do all those drills is when you dance in place at it. That means like I have no anticipation, body awareness, no foot placement, no deceleration, and I spun in place to change direction. So we'll let them play with that so they feel how bad it is. Because that's what you see 80% of the people on Instagram doing. But, like, we make our athletes feel it. And I'll show them, didn't that look quick? Didn't that look quick? Yeah, I look quick. Now watch it. Boom, I'm gone.
Yeah.
Okay? So that's what I mean by just teaching. We're not doing agility at all full speed. It's just programming it because we're trying to cook their legs on Monday, Thursday, and get speed gains with them.
Mm-hmm.
We program it. So, and we do use the ladder for that. But we use the ladder on a small scale, like five boxes. But we make sure the ladder is setting up the correct footwork for them in the beginning so they can come out correctly. But still, because I don't care about the ladder drill, I care about the step of separation they create at the end of the ladder.
Right. See, that's where I feel like a lot of coaches miss the boat, because you can't get it mixed up between – so, like, I tell coaches this. The difference between all the dancing, right, you're not separating. But some players aren't necessarily dancing – they are deceiving, like a receiver. They're going to deceive the DB into thinking, okay, once you've tactically deceived your opponent, now you separate, right? Don't get mixed up between the two.
And this is where you guys that I follow are so much better than everybody, because you, like, okay, I'm going to say honestly, and it's not to be rude, it's a compliment. They think because you guys are high school strength coaches that you're not at an elite level. And the guys that I have talked to are on an elite level of training. Because you get that. And that's what, like, our curriculum is trying to get people to think.
Yeah.
You guys think. Like, because – but people do it different. So Anquan Boldin doesn't dance. He's running through you. Okay?
Right.
Same with the DN. He doesn't dance. Most DNs don't dance to move you off your spot. They try to get a little left. So he's different. Now some but they're doing that dance to move you off your spot so they can go to their route. Okay? Travis Kelce's gonna dance and Mark Ingram's gonna dance. So sometimes we'll say, hey, we're getting to this 5-yard point and we need to set up a 90-degree cut immediately. I want you to either show speed to it or dance to it. So now I can show speed to move you back, or I can dance to move you off your spot. So that's part of the curriculum. It's exactly what you said. Like, it all makes common sense. And it's not like I'm not, because I'm with pros, I'm not doing anything magic. I'm taking these pros back down to the basics that they should have learned in high school and they haven't learned. And I'm like, you guys, I can teach an 8-year-old kid how to go through that ladder. I can teach a 12 to 16-year-old kid how to separate out that ladder. You guys get in that ladder and your feet just start dancing. You don't even know how to come out. So sometimes I say, like, I'm using the ladder to set up your feet correctly to come out correctly. Now if I do a dance move in the ladder, which isn't a dance move, but I say, hey, I want you to come in the ladder. I'm setting them up incorrectly, but now you got to come out correctly. Now I'm using the ladder to set your feet incorrectly, but come out correctly. So our ladder, we do use, even though I say fast feet stink, I say fast feet with a purpose work and separation work, but we use the ladder. We just don't do dance drills in it. There's only 4 ladder drills we do, straight through, lateral, ickies, and in and out. That's it. But we come out of the ladder probably 8 different ways each direction on every ladder drill. So that's what we would coach them in body position while we're cooking their speed on Monday and Thursday. But then when we get them to the summer and we've improved their speed, now it's like, hey, guys, now those Tuesday, Friday days are our focus. Game. That's what Kareem Jackson said today. He said, Monday and Thursdays are cool, Tony, but I win on Tuesday, Fridays, our separation days. So then when we get them in the summer, if we've improved their speed, then on Monday we go straight ahead speed, but then we go angle training after that, 45, 90, 135, everybody running straight ahead. Because I don't care how much speed you build on Monday, you better be able to harness and change the chain. So we throw in agility on Monday. And then Tuesday's all agility, lateral movement, setting outside, inside edge, and all that. So now we've got our 2 ounces of agility for every 1 ounce of speed. Mm-hmm. And that Wednesday, we take some time off, box and cardio, pool workout, make sure you get your upper body in, make your legs rested, whatever. And then Thursday, okay, now let's work on explosive speed, not, you know, an acceleration. But after that, let's maybe work on some outside-inside leverage for everybody. So then on Friday, we go position specific because DB's still got to work on coming out of the back pedal. Receivers still got to work on the dreaded 135-degree cut because
the comeback, right?
35, they got to really set it up. And they're the only players that really do that cut. So they're going to work extra that on Fridays. Old linemen are going to go back to really setting a wide base and fighting and setting jabs and crosses with their legs. You know, linebackers are going to work with running backs and how to shadow. Like, so then Friday can be a position-specific day because they've all worked on how to set up attacking straight ahead. They've all worked on laterally shifting. So then on Friday, agility day, we can go back to, dang, man, position-specific. I call it position-specific point of attack training. And every strength and conditioning coach, and I'm working with a Power 5 team, I don't want to say. And
sure.
Every position coach should be able to do that. And it's easy.
Let me ask you this. So, because, yeah, you know, everybody wants to complain about strength coaches not getting paid, right? Or their value's not that high. At least in our industry, they do.
Yeah.
If a strength coach can learn how to uphold this curriculum into a football staff and get down and start linking together on how to solve a problem and help these position coaches, all right, let me take what you know, position, space awareness, how it fits in scheme, right? What their job is in order to win as a team. Now let's talk about the physiological, the movement skills on how to do these things. To like the strength coach's value are going to go through the roof, man.
We've already done that. You know, I mean, I don't know Matt Ray. Okay. Everyone knows the story. Who knows him?
Right.
He got to start at University of Indiana football. Why? A Power 5 team wouldn't hire him, I guess. Why? He was putting out great research way before he's at Alabama.
Yeah.
He was at Alabama and everybody's listening to it. Okay. But what is he now? He's not a strength and conditioning coach. Now he's a scientist. I mean, he is.
Yeah.
Ted Rath was at, and I know him, he was at the LA Rams. They got a treadmill, tried it. We went out there for a week. I loved it because I knew Sean McVay, so Sean McVay brought me out there. And I met with Ted, and Ted's like, what do you think of the program? I'm like, Ted, like, you have a plan and a system. I can't look at your stuff one day and tell you, I would do this and you're not doing that. Like, you've got a system. Like, I can see you're setting stuff up. And we shared ideas, but Ted Rath was ahead of trying to start to do position training in with agility training and monitoring speeds. And the, you know where Ted Rath is now? He's a sports science director with the Philadelphia Eagles. Yeah. He's not a strength and conditioning coach anymore. So I think like it does just, they won't call them strength and conditioning coaches anymore. They're sports scientists, you know?
Yeah.
There will be a better value, but colleges have jumped into the value of the strength and conditioning coaches. High schools haven't yet, I guess, in your sector, but I think it will, because the most important part of a high school program's entire athletic department is that strength and conditioning coach that has their hands and eyes on every athlete.
Yeah, it's coming along, man. It really is. It's jumping off the roof. You know, our organization, the NHSSEA, National High School Strength Amazing. Coaches Association, man, it's an organization that's really pushing this hard and trying to educate administrators and school boards and coaches, because, you know, in the South, man, in Alabama – the high school football coach has more power than just about anybody but the superintendent, like, just to be honest. And if they say, I need a strength coach, guess what? They make it happen.
But that's how it is at colleges, too. I think it's going to filter down to high schools. I hope it does. Like, I love high school kids. We train a lot of high school kids, but we do it with these same principles. We do improve their speed, but then we're like, all right, now what? So when they come back to us, it's easy. And it's a few of y'all's trainers – are using the curriculum now, and they've convinced me I need to break it into more levels. So, because I have it in three levels, they're like, well, that's a lot of stuff. So I'm like done making levels. I'm ready to release it and go over and get more feedback on it. But it's just needed. Just this max velocity kick is great, and I'm not upset with it. But you, okay, so like we just went through that. So if you go 40, 20 to 40, and somebody hits a 180, 20 to 40, he's flying. That means he's at 22.7 miles an hour through there. Okay. Well, if he goes 185, he's still flying, but he's still going 22.2 miles an hour through there. So you tell me 0.05 of a second through that 20 yards and increasing my top speed by 0.5 of a second, but ruining all my change of direction capabilities when I do that is worth it. It's not worth it.
Yeah.
And that's why I'm trying to bring everybody back down. Yeah. So my athletes have told me, and I believe them, they want to be fast but not feel like they're running. So that's why I do believe in top-end mechanics, because if you can make a guy explode into smoothness, he still is at adequate speed, and he can play.
Yeah.
Jackson just said, hey, man, the Broncos get on me all the time. They monitor my miles per hour on my GPS Pratt. Is like, Kareem, you never got over 12 miles an hour. He goes, if I go over 12 miles an hour, I'm chasing. If I didn't get over 12 miles, go check the film. I made all my plays.
Wow.
Because I didn't get over 12 miles an hour. And I'm like, and Antoine Bowen tells me the same thing. I'm like, I try to get our receivers to get to this game speed and then hit their routes. And I'm like, you guys need to be at 16, 18 miles an hour. Antoine's like, no, slower. I'm like, but they got to give it. He's like, they got to be slower. They got to give the appearance they're running, but they can't be running that fast. So they can't get out of their brakes in their acceleration brake plan. Like, acceleration, fake deceleration is really brake plan. But we teach out, like, and then Kareem, like, so Antoine's telling me slow guys down to 14 to 16 miles an hour. Kareem's saying he never gets over 12 miles an hour, and the Broncos are like, we need to spike your speed. Okay, I'll go run some sprints to get 18, 19, 20 miles an hour so my hamstring integrity is there. But once you see me run that fast on the field, I'm out of position. Like, they're all telling me, Revis told me, like, I want to play basketball as long as I can in my route. Once when I run, I'm done. Antoine's telling me, once when I feel like I got to get, once when I have to run to my route to get a DB to move, I'm done. Once when the linebacker tells me, once when I run, I can't make a tackle. Once when Mark says, I only want to run once every four games, because that means I'm going 60 to 70 yards. They're all telling me they don't want to run.
Wow.
I'm trying to tell all these coaches, why are you making all these guys run so much? Prove their speed and do that, like, strength to power to speed, with a lot of rest period, a lot of quality work, and improve their speed and get them in shape with agility. Quit getting them in shape with running them to death. I mean, race, like, a lot of people believe in that now. But now you still got to get them in shape. So get them in shape with muscle memory drills that get them one step of separation.
Yeah, it's the said principle. Specificity, yeah. Right? I mean, if you're going to get in shape, shape is context. What shape? Circle, triangle, square? What do you mean? You know what I mean? Like, what shape are you talking about? Because who cares if you get in the shape of a 16-1-10 drill or a 300-yard shuttle drill?
Yeah, so people have finally stopped doing that, so now they're overcooking speed. But you can't get in shape and run fast. I mean, that's hard by running. It's hard because you don't want to train speed on endurance legs. But what you can do is what's just simple. When you train agility, you should never be running at full speed anyway. When you train speed, you're running, even not at maximum speed, you're at maximal effort. Maximal effort requires a lot of rest. That's just science, and everybody knows that. I'm not making this up.
Right.
Agility, we're learning you can't do agility correctly at high speeds because you can't change direction. So agility is that decreased intensity. You know you can do that for a longer time. You know what you can do that for? Improve your aerobic capacity. So it's just getting people to use science and what we already know to change their thoughts of training. And like Bruce Lee says, you know, I don't master 1,000 kicks. I master one kick 1,000 times. And that's what, like, this Alabama running back coach, Coach Burns, is the man. And now he's at New York Giants. And he was watching me train Ingram, and we went to Alabama one time. Big thanks to Coach Cochran for letting me there. And Coach Cochran is amazing. I wish he wouldn't have got out of strength and conditioning because he's the man. Because all this stuff went into max speed stuff. Now, he's probably making more as a coach. But, like, he has it right. Build that strength and power in the weight room. Don't get out of that. But just use it, transfer to agility outside, but back to the 1,000 kicks. Coach Burns said, you're mastering with Najee Harris and Mark Ingram just one kick. I'm like, no, I'm mastering how to get one step. I just want one step, okay? And if you get one step on someone, you positions train, positions guard other positions. So there's never 0.3 seconds difference normally between positions. Like a fast high school receiver is 4.5, 4.4. A slow high school receiver is 4.7. Okay, like there's normally 2 to 3 tenths. Now, do they get faster when they go to college? Yes. Do they get faster when they go to pros? Yeah, the difference of speeds by positions just gets smaller as you get older, and then the separation becomes even greater emphasis.
Right.
But like 4.4s are chasing 4.7s. So if that 4.7 gets a step on a 4.4 and they take off and they're lucky enough to run in a straight line, it takes that 4.4 about 32 yards to close that one step. And if you don't believe it, I challenge every coach. This is what I do when we go train high school kids. I go ahead and take a D lineman. I put him one step ahead of the linebacker. I put him one step ahead of the DB. And I go down there and I stand 40 yards away. And I say, this is where they're all going to meet. And everybody else is like, no, that DB is going to catch this guy right here. And they don't.
Yeah.
So I say, defense alignment, turn around. Ask the linebacker who's ready. Ask the DB if he's ready. You guys ready? Go. They take off. And 40 yards, they start to meet up with each other. Because there's like 2 to 3 tenths of a difference between all those positions. So then I say, coach, you have it right. Make these guys study film. Because if they study film and their eyes see something before it happens, that's going to create a step much more than any speed training can. So I'm not saying don't train speed, because you need to have speed, but it takes too long once when you need to use it. So let's master a million different ways to get one step into acceleration, more than we're going to do a million days of speed training.
Yeah, that's really, really good. I think that that's where it's going to come down to being able to partner and create solutions with strength coaches. And, you know, high school coaches need to hear this too. I hope that they can arm themselves. And I know not all high school coaches have strength coaches, but position, like you said, position coaches need to be able to coach this stuff. And do the best position coaches in the world do this stuff already? Not really.
Some do. So I took pieces of it from great receiver coaches, great DB coaches.
Okay.
Most of the time, position coaches are running them through drills. So what my goal is I'm not a position coach, but I'm going to teach you how to set up angles. So then I hire a great position coach and say, take the DBs. And I just watch. I ask the DB coach, how'd they look? They look great. Cool. Go back to what we're doing.
Wow.
Like, all my guys constantly doing the same drill.
Yeah.
Because I'm just going to get overdone by everybody else. So I call it like an immediate acceleration and point of attack training. And if we go through immediate acceleration into game speed and work on a point of attack, then we create separation. That's the game speed and separation curriculum. But like, for example, so I know the running back coach at South Carolina now. He's implementing the game speed and separation because he knows his conditioning coach isn't. But at another Power 5 school, I'm working all with the strength and conditioning staff because they're implementing. So there's a bridge, and in the web that you'll see, it's like, all right, you enter through max velocity here, and then you build around the web one way or another, and you exit through game speed and separation. But what you can't do is just do max velocity training, none of this stuff in the middle, and then go to your sport.
Yeah.
Someone in the middle, their position coach over here, or their strength coach just dropping them into max velocity, someone needs to be responsible for what's working in the middle. And that's, it can be a position coach or a strength and conditioning coach.
So it just depends on the situation that the school is in, right? What's your structure? Yeah. What's your schedule? How many coaches do you, especially high school, right? Because that looks so different for every single high school. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, it looks different for, like, our schedule. Like, I don't, some coaches don't, some people don't have turf. They don't have the space to do things. They only have this amount of time. So, but this right here, this curriculum to me, this little system will allow you to help you make these, maximize your situation and make better decisions in preparation.
Now, what's crazy, and I know you're going to think I'm plugging it, but I am. If you have a 10-yard by 10-yard box of turf in a shred mill, you can do 100% of the stuff every pro athlete does. That's all we use when we're inside. Because the shred mill correlates with ground speeds. Directly correlates with heavy resistance, low hills directly correlate with what speed you can get to between 7 to 10 yards. High hills, low resistances directly correlate with what speed you hit between 20 to 30 yards. Okay? And when you improve those two speeds, you improve your ground speed. Now, we just proved that three steps of speed is all you need. Because you're going to get to 14, 15 miles an hour in three steps. If you start to use trap mechanics after that, you're climbing to 18, 19, which is already too fast compared to most of my players. The best to ever do it. So if you're in a 10-yard box, you can work on so many different change of direction patterns into 2 to 3 steps of speed. Because you can go first out, shift, come back out. Like, you don't need that much space to work on, like, game speed and point of attack training.
Yeah.
And that's what I want to help high school coaches do is, if you can train speed in the weight room, what's when you learn how much agility stuff is truly out there and how much important agility stuff is needed, and you can train speed in the weight room. Like, imagine, it is a plug for a shred mill, but imagine bringing a hill, a sled, and a track into your weight room. So now when you're doing legs, you can work on speed and just go ahead and knock it out. So now when you go to the field, you don't have to run. We don't run on the field. Wow. We never run on the field. We work on position training on the field because we've hit enough running inside on the shred mill in the weight room. And it makes it so much easier to implement a whole curriculum that works. So you don't feel like you have to run when you go outside. And that's what a Power 5 team is doing now. And I have Zoom calls with them every week, and they did it. I said, dude, you need to wake up your team. Take a fast D lineman that runs a 4.7 or 8 and take your fastest DB. Give that D lineman one step. You know, so put the D lineman's heel at the 1-yard line and front foot at the 2-yard line, like he's in the split stance. And set up the DB front foot at the goal line, back foot behind it. So there's just 1 yard of separation. And tell everybody to go stand in a line where that DB catches him. And I said, I know what's going to happen. Everybody's going to go stand between yard 7 and 15. And I said, you just go ahead and go stand by yard 40. Okay? So this Power 5 strength coach did that. And I have this on a video with I time a guy at a 4.6 laser and a 5.3 laser. And we do the chase and race. And he catches them about 26 yards because there's 7/10 of a difference between their speed. So if you put 2 to 3/10 of a difference, not catching. So this Power 5 conference did it, and they couldn't catch it.
Wow.
They went like 35 yards. So now his whole team is bought in just off of seeing that. Damn. I need to get – and I hate the whole adage. I know a lot of people are, let's get 1% better every day. And if you said, I can't get 365% better in a year, that's impossible. I don't need to get 1% better every day. The changes we make are smaller than that. We're good if we get 0.1% better every day. But, like, that one smallness for that one step is all the difference you need. You just got to increase your toolbox of, well, how do I get that step? And I'm telling you right now, it's not with max speed. You can get it with max speed if you're running 40, 50, 60 meters. But if you're not running 40, 50, 60 meters, you got to increase your toolbox. So how am I going to get that step?
Wow. See, that's where football's played. I mean, that's where basketball's played. That's where lacrosse is played. That's where soccer's played. I mean, all of it.
Yeah. So we call it, like, we have a field sport curriculum. And we tell every field sport, soccer, lacrosse, and football, you're going to learn how to attack straight ahead like a receiver. You're going to learn how to shift off your inside-outside foot like the best running backs playing. And then you're going to learn. You don't learn as much DB stuff because you really just need to learn back linebacker stuff because you don't really – no other sport's coming out of a back pedal but a DB, you know? So, like, all field sports learn – I say learn how to train like the best athletes in the world. So it's about attacking angles. And then court sports come down below, and they do even less speed training because what's their sexy part? The vertical. So they do a lot more strength to power the vertical force. And we don't really care about changing the horizontal force. We got an NBA first-round pick in here right now. We've taught him. But if you're a two-guard, forward, kick, put your head down, hit the ground five times. If you push off that ground five times and drift, where are you? 20 yards down there before I can, like, really set up. Well, that's 60 feet. You're two-thirds down the court. Did you ever run? No, I just pushed off the ground. Great. You never run then. You never run on that basketball court. You push off that ground to get to your spot. So there's, like, it's just force on the basketball court.
Let me ask you this question, and I think you may enjoy this one. What do you think about the whole speed reserve narrative?
I believe in it. I just don't think it's the best bang for the buck, and I just spoke about it today. So the speed reserve is if you improve your max velocity and your acceleration is going to increase, right?
Right.
I do agree with that, but I'd say, like, let's say you spend a unit of 10 on max velocity. I think that speed reserve is going to help your acceleration improve by a unit of 2. That's what I said today. But if you spend a unit of 10 on acceleration in the top speed, I think that max speed improves almost a damn near unit of 10.
Wow.
Whole mass times velocity. That's what Brendan Thompson was saying last night. And Les Spellman's a great guy. And like I've known this for years. Like Matt Gaetz just talked to me today. He said, well, is there a study out there that all these 40s and max speeds are improving without ever working acceleration? I said, yeah. I said, when do we ever run guys past 25 yards in our combine training? He's like, we don't, but we can't say that. I'm saying it. I don't care. Like, we improve their acceleration and deload their legs and let them run 40 when their legs are fresh. We don't run past 40 yards one time in our combine training. Not one time do we run past 40 yards in our combine training. Once when their legs deload, we let them run past 25 yards. But we're spending all our time working on power in the weight room, horizontal force, power into the run, and opening up with sprint mechanics and maintaining our speed until we start to deload, and then we let them unleash. We don't want max velocity one time. He's like, yeah, you're right. So now you're going to have to ask people like Les, and I know his answer, but Les is a great max velocity guy, and I'm not knocking it. Like, I love Les. And I got a funny story about how me and him met, but it's great. Like, I love to see, like, he came into our facility 10 years ago in Del Rey when I was in the gym, and he was from Temple. He's a running back track guy, and he hung around for a week, and I saved his number as Les De La Temple, Les from Temple. And then I started following Les Spellman. I'm like, man, this young guy's got his stuff together. I meet him at the combine. Les, man, I love your stuff. He's like, cool, Tony. I'm like, man, give me your number. I want to catch up. He gives me his number. I go on my phone to call him later that night. I'm like, damn, that's the same Lester from Temple. I call him. I didn't realize you were the same Lester from 8 years ago. But, like, all he was talking to me about was 3 steps of speed, like 3 steps of acceleration. And I'm like, that's all we're working on now, too. Now, he does. He posts a lot of max velocity stuff, and I believe in it. But he believes in the – he posted it yesterday. If you improve their acceleration from 10 to 20 – 0 to 10, 10 to 20, their 40-yard dash is going to improve greatly. Even if you – he said he went another level, even if you don't improve their max velocity. So when are they truly hitting their max velocity? 45 to 55 meters? So what do you truly need to improve in their 40? Their acceleration profile.
So when you talk about increasing power – because, like, we were talking on Twitter the other day – before we set up this meeting about, like, how we, like, you know, we talked about, I sent you this video, right? And, like, what I thought you thought about it. And you're like, all this ground and pound, get in the weight room to be able to accept that force or be able to develop power. Talk to me a little bit about your approach in the weight room and how to make sure it doesn't take away from being able to produce on the field. Cause that's another big topic is like we focus way too much in the weight room and not enough on these movement skills, but that doesn't mean the weight room's not important.
Weight room is so important. What's when you have the, so Mark Ingram now has the muscle memory. He's a perfect example. He has the muscle memory. Carl Lawson was awful 2 to 3 years ago. He has the muscle memory now. So I tell them, hey, we're not hitting the ladder drills and this repetitive. Like I'm working on with these guys getting it in their muscle memory, you need to go in the weight room and get healthy. When I say healthy, increase your power. Because now if you have the muscle, I mean, you got to build the muscle memory first.
Do you mean like when you say muscle memory, I just want to clarify, right, is the movement options, the acquired skill of movement options are where how to attack angles.
Yes.
Okay.
Different. It's different. Like there's an exact right way to do it that a receiver does because he knows where he's going.
Right.
And then there's a running back does it when he's got to react super quick. And then there's a way a defensive player does it when he's got to go eyes, anticipation, body awareness, foot position. Now what position am I in? So there's ways. But once when you learn all those, we can throw anything at our guys and say, hey, I want you to hit this angle, to this angle, to this angle, to this angle. And they'll look at me and go, okay, and they'll get it. Okay, you got it. Like, I don't need to rebound and go in the weight room because now when you put more force into that, you're going to be faster. And that's what we did with Mark Ingram this offseason because he wasn't healthy last offseason. And I said, Mark, I'm not, you know, there was a lot of reasons he wasn't healthy last offseason. I don't want to talk about him. I said, Mark, like, you got to change around a little bit what you did last year. It didn't work. And we need to get back to what we know. And we did. And I told him, like, do your legs with me, okay? Because I know when to sequence them together. And we're going to focus on your legs this year, okay? Instead of doing your legs somewhere else. Do your legs with me. Let me work on your legs and take away some of this footwork stuff. Let me work on your legs and work on your stride length, which is your weakness, because I know your strength is your acceleration in footwork and in body position. So let me work on your weakness, which everybody should do. Weight room and striding out up the hill. So we did that with him for like 4 weeks, like after everybody went to camp, and he did. We did that for 4 weeks and never ran. And then we started hitting some game speed stuff, and he hit his career times. Like splits that he could run a 4.4. He can't run a 4.4. But like on the game sheet splits, I'm like, Mark, when was the last time we ran? Tell everybody. I haven't been running this year. I was like, you know how to accelerate? Yep. You got more powerful? Yep. You feeling healthy? Yep. There you go. You unleashed your speed. And he didn't do over running. So you're exactly right. You need, like, and at the high school level, they do need, Coach Joe told me again, like, you got your web, cool. I got a tree trunk. That trunk is like strength, maybe.
Yes.
Strength. Then you go out in branches, power and speed. And then those branches go up into agility and like that's right. You need that strength base to build power. You need that power for speed. But then if you've gotten good at that and you haven't worked on anything in those branches, you've got a worse athlete for agility. So you need that weight room, and that weight room makes what every acceleration thing you do, top speed weights really don't help because it's all form and repeating your form.
Mm-hmm.
Weights help that acceleration, totally help that deceleration. But you can set up the weight room for drills. Like if you want to work acceleration in the weight room, good. Do a back lunge to high knee, right? All right, you want to work deceleration in the weight room, go front lunge to push back with dumbbells. Okay, you want to work on outside foot plant in the weight room. Drop that foot, sit on your side lunge, and step up on a box. You want to go inside foot, crossover. Sit wide, sit over your inside foot, and pull it back. Like, you can train those moves in the weight room so there's more buy-in in the weight room to transferring that to the field.
Yeah, that's a really big deal of understanding how it all fits. Cause that's the part that's tough. And that, one of the things that really irks my nerves, Tony, is when people like separate, like you build the engine, learn how to squat, lunge, hinge, push, pull, block. We'll take care of the skill side. There's a huge gap there. And these kids are getting hurt because we're not bridging the gap.
And that, like, I've been in my business 20 years and people are always like, did you ever run track? Absolutely not. Did you ever play football? Oh, no, not a down, no pads, no helmet ever on my life. And they're like, are you crazy? I'm like, I don't know. I just made up stuff and people listen. But you know what I made up 20 years ago? Is everybody started going to track coaches and calling them sports performance coaches. They did, because speed was so king. And I said, stop. If you go to a track, and it's the same thing we talk, if you go to a track, you've got a, you know, you got a Ford Escort, you can go, or a Honda Accord, whatever, Camry, you're right here. Now I go to my, back then it was bodybuilder, get big, and let's look at Hummer. Now let me go to a speed coach. Yeah, let's run on that track and be as fast as a Porsche. Wow. Now I just increased my size, increased my speed, but you know what I'm on? The same wheels, tires, and axles, because those are how I turn in my agility. Blowing ACLs all over the place.
Yeah.
That's why people started getting into deceleration and all that. Like, knew that for years. I knew that, like, everyone, and that's what built my business is, like, guys, like, 20 years ago, stop track principles and quit lifting with bodybuilders. Okay? And I'm scared now. That's what we're going back to with this max velocity stuff. Is now your back track coach is building max velocity. Ray said it, and I don't know him, but he's like, I just looked at 1,000 campers, and I probably only fixed sprint mechanics on 20 or 30 of them was a tweet. Now, you tell me now he's considered the best strength coach in the world. It looks at 1,000 high school kids, and he wouldn't fix but 20 sprint mechanics? Like 20 kids sprint mechanics? He's like, they have the adequate sprint base to now work on what he really believes power to speed. Like, so, like, I believe in sprint mechanics. But you only got to set time in the day. Like, you've got to get off of it. Like, our sprint mechanics is our warm-up. Cool, now we don't hit it. That's just us. It doesn't mean we're exactly right. It doesn't mean you have to do it our way. I don't believe in that. But, like, move on is my thought.
Yeah. Now what? That's the whole thing in this episode that's been so great is now what? You know, and how do we climb – that pyramid or that tree, the edge of those branches. Do you believe the edge of that branch or the top of that pyramid is agility? That's what separates the elite from the elite.
Yes, because once when they – so, and this was Coach Joe's thing, like, hey, don't tell them to train speed because everybody's already fast in the NFL. I'm like, nah, you're wrong. Like, the best players I train in the NFL are the slowest. They're still 2 to 3 cents slower than the guys that they got drafted behind. But they're the best players. Like, so there's still that 2 to 3 tenths difference of separation between them and the great guys at their position to get drafted. So it narrows. I think it narrows as you get higher, but there's still a big separation. You know, like I do, like middle school. I mean, we just had an 8-year-old kid in here training. And his dad's like, so we'll make the NFL. I'm like, tell him to go play sports, man. Come on. Tell him to play sports. It's like, don't talk to me until he hits puberty. Does he need to be doing vertebrae? No. Does he need a treadmill? No. Go play sports. So it's like, play multiple sports. Then in 8th grade, middle school, learn how to lift, learn how to sprint, and learn how to do basic footwork and agility. Now you're in high school, learn game speed, learn some separation, and learn how to do your position. Now that's going to get you to college. Now in college, you got to take it to another level. Now your humbleness, your work ethic, and all that comes into effect. Colleges will still take you for that size to speed ratio. You know, but what makes you great is if you have that size of speed ratio with how you add in all this other stuff. And that's why I study from the greats. Like when I get great guys here, I mean, they pay me to train them, but I learn from them. That's why I'm telling them all their secrets. We give a cheat code to a DB and then we tell, all right, now receivers, we just made your job hard. Now you better come out of that break right because he knows the cheat code. And Anquan's like, well, I don't care. If I come out of my break right, I'm one step ahead of him anyway, so he can't match me. You're right, because he's reacting to you. That's why you always get open. And it's just a cheat code, and they go back and forth, and then you learn it's just a game of cat and mouse. Who wants space, or who doesn't want it? It's like jujitsu or boxing. Who wants it, and who doesn't want it? I'm telling you right now, Anquan Boldin does not want space. Chris Carter said the same. He does not. He wants the DB on him. Why? Because they're so good at point of attack, they know they're getting away from you. And that's weird for people to hear. What do you mean? Those receivers want the DB on them? Yeah, because they know they're going to separate better. And it's weird. Revis wants to play basketball against Anquan Boldin while he's running around. As long as he can. Because if he doesn't come out of his basketball base, he can change directions the multitude of ways that we learn. Anquan Boldin and Travis Kelce are telling me, and they just showed me, that they're the slowest ones in this room when they got to change directions. They've also made the most Pro Bowls in the whole world. So they keep telling me more and more and more it's not about speed, Tony. And I finally listened like 3 to 5 years ago and started constructing the curriculum. Like, we're fast enough. Now what?
That's you know, to wrap this up, because, man, that's like drinking water from a fire hose, which as soon as this is released, I I'm on it. I can promise you that. I urge every coach to get on this and learn about this. This is important stuff that let's try to wrap all this up. You know what I'm saying? Like, train speed, it's important. Like, you need to be fast, right? You also need the hamstring integrity, which is important, right?
Yes.
So let's not say it's not, right? Two big keys, right? But you can only go as fast as you can slow down and change direction. You need change direction skills to be able to get that separation, right? And then you need to get in the weight room and get to where you're strong enough and create enough force or slow down enough force that is only going to accentuate all those skills on the field. Does that sound about right?
Agreed. And I think people should start, and I'm going to use other people's weight curriculums. I swear, like, y'all's weight curriculums are more advanced than what I did and get those gains. I promise you. But, like, I think you can start, and I think people are already doing it, stressing agility now in the weight room prescription as much as people prescribe speed in the weight room. And once when you can start doing that, like, things will change. You know, you'll start to see your kids just explode out of change of direction. And that's playing fast. That's everybody's like, him time fast, but he plays fast. Yeah, you dummy. Because he doesn't run fast enough to get out of control. So he's always recognizing that at the play. That's what he means. He plays fast, but doesn't time fast. Yeah, dummy, he's slow. So he can change directions good.
Yeah, that's a good point. You know, because I had a kid that just came off an ACL reconstruction, and we just got done. He's stronger than he's ever been, and we really focused on I don't have a lot of the skills. I just thought, okay, he's a middle linebacker. What does he do? Okay, shadows, mirrors, lateral, stick your foot in the ground. Okay, how do we change directions 45 degrees, 90 degrees?
Yep.
How do we do all this? And now coaches are like, you know, he looks like a way better than he is. We're running 10-yard flies. I don't know. Even on our team, he's like 12, 14. But guarantee you he's our leading tackler. Guarantee it. Dude's a good player. So that just goes to tell you and repeat that speed is important, but it's not the biggest predictor of success.
Want one more story or not?
Yeah, I do. I want all of it.
Because this is why. So Revis trained with us 1 year, and this was when, like, 3 years ago. And I don't claim Revis as a client, really. But he did give me credit for, like, getting back in the league as last year. So, like, and he opened up my eyes because he was doing some stuff wrong and I was kind of fixing him. I'm like, I'm fixing Revis. Like, can't do that. Like, I said, Anquan, like, Mark Ingram, go tell Revis, like, I'm not just pointing him out. He's doing it wrong in front of 20 people because I think I don't want him to think like I'm trying to prove a point that he's doing it. And he came up to me and said, nah, man. He's like, you're right. Like, I'm doing that drill wrong. That's why I'm here. I'm like, yeah. Kind of gave me confidence. But then I started then, like, learning from him. Okay, so we had these lights. They went out of business. I wish they didn't. But it was a strip of lights on the floor. And you could set them to come out at 14 miles an hour, 16 miles an hour, 18 miles an hour, 20 miles, whatever. And they were like 40 yards long. I just told the lady, send me a 20-yard strip. That's all I care about. So we would sometimes give guys like 20-yard build-ins. And then when they'd go through a laser, it'd shoot out at 20 miles an hour, 21 miles an hour, and just be a good way for them to feel. So when we were training combine guys, don't overcook your legs. Don't try to push past this, okay? And then we'd do acceleration training with them. This is what was crazy. So you'd have these lights like on a strip from here to here, there's 20 yards, right? Okay? And you'd put a guy in the sprint stance right here, and we'd only send the lights out at 14 miles an hour, just 14. So I'd say, right when you move, just like a hand start, I'm going to start the lights. Okay? And you could catch that 14 miles an hour at about 8 to 12 yards. Because it took our guys 3 steps to get to 14, but that thing started at 14. And then by the time they get 16, they catch it. So I'm like, all right, if some little girl gets out on you, can only run top speed at 14 miles an hour, you're not going to catch her until you get 10 to 12 yards. I was like, wow, that sucks. What if that light's going 14, 16, 18, 19, like offensive lineman? Oh, crap, you never catch him. So that's what woke up my eyes. So then it got better. So then I said, let's take a step back from that line. And now we're going to start the late. I'm going to start 14 miles an hour right when your right foot hits. So I'm giving you one step of anticipation into that light. You know when you catch that light? Right there at the first yard. Okay, so one step of anticipation was worth 8 to 10 yards once when you have to catch someone. It's not one step behind, you're 10 yards behind. Now, here's what's crazy. Now I said, I'm going to start that light, and you got to react to it and catch it.
It's further.
It's only going 14 miles an hour. How many of my athletes caught it? Not one.
Yeah.
I'm like, Reeves, you can't catch that thing? Like, I thought the DBs would go. When you start that light and they see it go, by the time they react, that light is 12 yards away. They can't catch it. So I'm like, oh, my God, this gassy stuff is right. Like you better be in a good position to go when it goes or anticipate it, because if you react, you're effing dead. So that's what my eyes really woke up. I'm like, and that's what Revis and Mark Ingram, they all do. I react once on that field. If I have to react twice, I'm dead on a play. So we always say, like, if you react and come out wrong, do you ever get a chance to make it up there on that play? No, you can't. You better go to the next play.
Yeah.
So we teach them to react, and we call it fast feet replace, just to feel how bad it feels. But then we teach them to attack in different ways. But the only way you can attack is with film study, eyes, education. Okay, because if I'm starting and I'm like, ooh, yeah, they're not going that way. Let me just shift my feet over here. Let me shift the whole. Oh, yeah, it's coming. And I go. That is worth that linebacker that does that and runs a 4.8. It's better than that linebacker who sits right here and is going like this and then drop step. Like that scenario is worth four steps. And this would, like, coaches like to hear it, because, like, film study, and when they tell you to get right here versus here, like, Saban yelled at his DBs, don't line up on this side of the hash mark, it's this side of the hash mark. Coach, I'm going to make it up. No, you're not. You need to be on the right side of the hash mark. No. Left side of the hash mark. Like, Saban kind of knows, but he doesn't know. If you set up 1 yard off in his system, he benches you. But if you start the run to get to where you need to be 1 yard off, it takes you 25 to 30 yards to make that up.
Wow.
Don't understand, like, 1 yard, if both people are moving, takes, like, they don't stand still. And that's what people don't understand. Denzel Ward was perfect. I had Denzel Ward chase a 4.7 tight end, and Denzel, like, couldn't catch. Denzel's verified 4.3, top 25, like, he's great. Took him 35 yards to catch a 4.7 tight end. So now he's like, I get it, you know?
Yeah, that seems like a simple way that you can get buy-in too. Like, all right, line up here, ready, go. Oh, how long did that take?
If you just give, I tell you, that's the first level of our game speed curriculum is just a folder where I time an old lineman who's 320 pounds at 5'3", and I just show it to you. Okay, cool. And then I time a fast trainer I have at 4.63 that day, is a 4.5 guy that doesn't train. See, he's 4.63. Cool. He's 190. This guy's 330. There's 0.7 of a difference. Go ahead, big man. Take a step on him. Go ahead, 4.6 to get behind him. And I tell the cameras, this is what's going to happen. 5.3 takes off. 4.6 goes right after him. Takes him 27 yards to catch. And I'm like, when is a 4.6 ever chasing a 5.3?
And you're talking football, too. You're not just catching a guy. You're making a tackle or having to make a play on a ball.
So if that 5.3 just shifted a little bit at 20 yards, there goes another 4 yards of separation. I would be ready to argue that DK Metcalf made his famous play of chasing down Buda Baker because of acceleration a lot more in top speed, and this is why. But I've got to get with one of those recruiting analytics services that can do it miles per hour. But Buda Baker comes out of the back pedal, does everything perfect, and breaks on the ball. So he breaks on the ball and he catches. He had no acceleration phase. Now, poor Buda Baker's got like 95 yards to run with no acceleration phase. So by the time he gets caught, and I got a picture of it, the Baker's like this, running like this. And Metcalf's right behind him like this. Metcalf is still on the gas. Buda Baker's struggling. But if you go back and really look at that play, and I trained neither of them, but I went back and looked at their 40 speeds, and DK's a low 4.3, and Buda's still a 4.4. So I'm like, how did he make up that 1/10 of separation? Well, one, it was like 90 yards run. And two, go back and look. Buda Baker has no acceleration phase. When DK Metcalf sees he's got to run, he puts his head down like a track guy and accelerates for at least 25 yards. And he hits.
So why didn't Baker have an acceleration phase? Like, was he already running, caught the ball?
Yeah, how can you, like, you can't downshift.
Yeah. Like, you're just already there, right? Like,
he's probably intercepted that ball at 16 miles an hour, if he's lucky. And now he's struggling to get a 20, but he didn't get into 16. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's like starting a car in third gear. Takes me a long time. Now let me find fourth. And Metcalf doesn't have gear one. He didn't get in trap blast, but he found gear two. And then gear three, and then gear four.
But like, famous play or not, 90 yards, that is an anomaly, man. That is not going to make a difference in your performance in the game, in football. Now, it may have made a – how many times is that play going to make a difference in a game?
No, it doesn't. But I argued with people. Like, I still say it was more about acceleration than top speed. But I do understand Metcalf had higher top speed on that. Another one I put on video – like, video analysis and picture analysis is part of the curriculum. There's two linebackers right here. And they're running. This is a great one. This is a crappy one. And this is the high rate one. And it was Coach Bollinger. He's on Twitter. And it's like, they're drifting like this to the play. And it's a reverse. And you see this guy's eyes cut on. And he sits wide. He sits wide, leveraged over his inside foot. This guy is a little higher, and he's on his outside foot. Okay? They're both like this. Boom. Two different change of directions happen. This guy right, this guy wrong. Reverse happens. You know what happens just off this one position? This is what happens. And this guy, they totally change positions off of their change of direction setup. And everybody's going, oh, look at that speed to the ball. It wasn't made with that speed. It was made with his anticipation and change of directions. You see the two linebackers change directions right at the same time. This guy's on his outside foot and high, so he drops in place. This guy's over his inside foot and low, so he crosses over. And it's literally, they're 2 yards difference here, and they end 2 yards different the other way. That one different change of direction was 4 yards of separation. And it made that guy a great linebacker. Like, he got drafted. But what I mean about, like, eyes, anticipation, body awareness, foot placement, how do I come out? That's what we coach and cue all the time.
Well, awesome, Tony. That was great. Man, this is going to be a great episode. We could talk for 3 hours if we really wanted to.
Yeah, I know.
But, man.
I love you guys. So I like following you along. And I give a lot of thanks to you and Hoover and Bennett and Rich and Josh. So it's like, you guys are, like, amazing. Like, you guys are good. Like, I don't think you guys understand how good you are when I compare you guys to other people in my private sector.
Yeah.
You know? So.
Well, we appreciate that, man, a lot. You know, we're just trying to put out great value. That's the whole point of me even doing this podcast, is to help people, you know, help other coaches, help kids. And I hope we can maximize as many kids' potential as possible. So we'll appreciate you, Tony. You know, like you said, you haven't been on many podcasts. You just have been, you know, nose down grinding, you know, doing your thing for many years. And if anybody wants to reach out and have a conversation with you, what's the best way to get in touch with you?
Probably email Villani, my last name, Villani at xbsports.com. I still check my email more than my social media accounts. So that's probably the best way. And just, you know, be on the lookout. And we always have trainers come down to our facility and just watch us train. It's an open door policy. I just want to help people too. So
awesome. Well, give us before we let you go, here on the podcast, give us an update on this curriculum. Like, when's it going to be released? Like, how can people access it?
So this week, with the people I already have the email list to and Shredmore owners, I'm releasing some free content. And if people say, like, that free content, I'm giving them like a $99 money back guarantee on like the first level. And if they want their money back after that, I'll give it to them. And then if they want the whole kit and caboodle, which is probably takes 6 months to get through, it's going to be a highly discounted price before we really go public with it. And then I want to follow that up with Zoom calls for like 6 to 8 weeks for every coach to get it done on the intro level. There'll be a Zoom call like every week. Many coaches can participate. They can ask questions so I can answer them, record it, send it out. And I want, like, people to spend time, like, learning the curriculum and give me feedback, because I've learned a lot from other coaches trying to implement it. And when they show me videos of their kids and their top athletes, I'm like, yeah, they need it. But that's how I try to tell them, like, don't worry about it. That's what a lot of the college athletes look like when they come to us out of college. They can't control their speed, and they don't know how to change direction. So don't worry about it. It's just got to be rep for like an off season. It'll go through an off season, and then you'll watch that kid come back through it again the second off season. And it's just like they go the second time through your strength to power curriculum. They look like a different person.
Awesome. Cool. We'll be on the lookout for that. That's going to be a game changing resource. I hope you guys can get in on that. I know I definitely am. To help our kids get better. Well, Tony, man, I appreciate your time. I know your time is valuable, just like all of ours is, and appreciate you taking the time to school us up a little bit.
All right, man. I appreciate you, Cody. You guys have a good day, everyone.
Thanks, man.